Amen. Wow. Thank you. Hallelujah. It is good to have Natalie here today. We've been praying for you and just speaking life. And this woman had she had a car wreck that should have killed her. There's just no other way to say it. You don't get hit by a semi truck, rammed into another semi truck, and live and walk out of it without a scratch, without a broken bone. I'm telling you, God is faithful. Christy Goodrum went to the doctor this week. Doctor expecting fully that she had a blockage in her heart, another blockage. Already had one heart attack. God was faithful to bring her through. Gets to the doctor on Tuesday and he says, no blockage here. Praise the Lord. Maria Woolham had neck surgery this week and had a fused, some disc fused in her neck and came through it perfectly. Called her yesterday. She said, I don't have any pain going down my arm anymore. She said, I got a little discomfort from that. And but she said, you know, God was just has been faithful. And she's just encouraging her church to come to her husband to come to church with her. And like I told in Sunday school, she didn't say, it's this preacher, you just got to hear him. She didn't say, this song leader, you just got to hear her. This Sunday school teacher, you got to hear him. She said, you got to meet this church. It's unlike any other church we've ever been to. She said, the spirit of love. Guys, it's not preaching that builds the church. They will know us by the love that we have towards each other. I'm serious. That's what builds a church. It's not me. It's not Tree. It's not Pastor Ray. It's you. It's not you even. It's God that builds a church. But He uses us. He uses us as we love each other. It's incredibly important to keep loving each other. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to do the last half of this chapter 6, verse 15 through 23, and we've entitled this, Whose Slave Are You? Whose Slave Are You? And that title may just be a little offensive to some people. And for that, I say, I don't really care. Because as you read the Scripture, you can come up with your own title if you want to, but I think that pretty well describes these 8 verses or so. Romans chapter 6, verse 15 through 23 says, What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you remember chapter the same chapter, the first verse? He almost asked the same question. If sin makes grace look so good, should we keep on sinning? Is that not a humanistic point of view? So now it's like they're asking another, well, if we can't get by with sinning because we're under so much grace, can we get by it because we're not under the law? And Paul says, come on, get with me now. Stop that. Verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave from whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Verse 23 is one of the Roman roads of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My Father, I thank you for your word. I believe and know that it's an anointed word, Father. Lord, your word breaks every yoke off of our life. And I'm praying, Lord, for that word to be a hammer today and to break and chisel off the things that needs to come out of our lives, Lord. Lord, I don't know those things, but You do. You know these people. You know their hearts. So I'm just praying, Spirit of God, we just ask, Lord, that You preach this sermon. Preach it individually to each and every person. Use my tongue, Father. Use anything that You can use of me. But Lord, we need the Spirit of God to bring life to each and every person in this building. Jesus, I'm so thankful we serve You. I'm so thankful that there is no limitations to You, Father. We're very limited. We're limited in our resources. We're limited in our thinking. But You know no limitation. We're asking, Lord, that You move freely among these people. We have gathered together to lift up the name of Christ. So, Lord, let there be freedom and liberty in Your presence. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. He starts off and he says, we're not under the law any longer. What's he talking about? There's no way you can work hard enough, good enough, be good enough for salvation. There's one man that came to Jesus, the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and says, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the law. You should keep those things. He said, I've done all those since I was a kid. Since I was a young man, I have followed the law. And Jesus, reading his heart and perceiving what was really going on the inside, he says, give everything you have away and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler left very empty and very sad because he couldn't do that. I bring that story into this picture because you can do all the right things and have a rotten heart. Let's not fool ourselves. You don't get to heaven because you got it all together and because you're doing everything right. You make it to heaven for one reason only, because of the grace of God. That while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He did not ask you to clean your life up before you come to Him. He came to you in your darkness. We're not under the law, thank You, Jesus. We are under grace. But because of that, does it mean we're going to keep on sinning? Paul says, are you kidding me? Why in the world would we do that? Last week, I brought an illustration to you. I'm going to bring it again. But the very first thing is, I think that he's trying to bring to us is never be casual about sin. I'm going to preach a whole lot the same sermon that Pastor Ray preached in the Sunday school. Let's not treat sin casually. And I told you last week, when you go to the grocery store, sometimes you make these decisions when you see stuff. And it's, man, I love steak. But when I see steak and it's, you know, $12 a pound or $15 a pound, I choose not to buy it. Right? No way. I'm going to wait till that comes down and I'll buy the steak that I can afford that's 99 cents a pound, which is called ground beef. And that now is $4 a pound. Isn't that? Man, make you slap your mama. It's just too high. But so we say, no, I'm not paying that price. When we begin to look at sin like that, when we look at sin and we quit toying with it and we say, boy, the price tag is just way too high, we're going to start doing things that lead to life. You're going to step away from sin because you realize that's got way too high of a price tag. It is moral deterioration. I want us to know, and this is a hard lesson to teach, and it's even harder to hear. Either way it goes, you are a slave. Now, Americans, we do not like to hear that. No one likes to hear, we don't really even like, the church really don't even like to hear that we're a slave to Jesus. But you are. We like this stuff, Jesus, save us and let us do our own thing. That ain't why He saved you. He saved you so you could serve Him. That's not preached a whole lot in the church today, and it ought to be. Your life's not your own. You've been bought with a price. That's Scripture. So let's start serving Him. Let's dedicate our life. But before you're a Christian? Before you get saved, before you're a Christian, you're a slave to sin. We don't quite get that. Because when we see that, we think of robotics. We think of demon possession. Pastor Eric, are you saying that everybody is not saved is demon possessed? Absolutely not. I am not saying that. Don't you leave this house and say that the pastor said that. I'm not like, you know, before we meet Christ, we don't get up in the morning and say, "Yes, Master, what do you want me to do? What evil can I perform today for you?" There's a lot of people that we would say are good people that do not know Jesus Christ, but they're a slave to sin. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that Satan has so infiltrated our soul. Did you get that? See, that phrase right there, I prayed for probably 12 hours to get it. Because I knew it was a really, really important phrase. I said, "Lord, what is the phrase that I need? What's the wording that I need to teach this lesson?" Infiltrated our soul. Satan, what is your soul? Your mind, will, and emotions. Satan has infiltrated our soul, so he leads our thoughts, and we don't even know it. He has a way. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is death, is what Proverbs says. You think you're your own man. You think you're coming up clever with all these things. What you don't realize is before you got old enough to make your way, Satan was there putting things in your heart to determine your path. The path of the righteous is life. You see, on the path that God has created for you is all the blessings of God is on your path. And God is a path for every person. We step off the path from time to time. We're going along, we're serving God, and all of a sudden we go, we're like ADD. That looks good. And God's path is over here, and we start going this way. And you know what we do? Because we're so Christianized, we say, "Bless this path, Father. Bless what I'm doing, Jesus." Jesus said, "I ain't ever called you to do that." You ever heard people that cannot sing a lick that try to sing a special in church? Do you really think God called them to sing? I don't believe so. I don't. I have sat through many a specials going, "Oh, dear God." Sometimes we get off our path. Why? Because we think that looks glorious or that looks entertaining or we're just being drawn. Stay on your path. Stay on your path because on your path, the path that God has called you for, that's where you're going to find your blessings. Now, I want to bring this one more illustration so that I think it will prove this. He says you're either slaves to sin or you're slave to Him. Okay, as children of God, do you wake up in the morning saying, "Yes, sir, I will serve you"? You don't do that, right? What do? You get up, you get dressed, you go to work. And all of a sudden, as you're just working along or as you're doing your job, all of a sudden the Spirit of God may speak to your heart and say, "Would you tell that person I love them?" What? You're being led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're His servant. All of a sudden, the Lord speaks to you and says, "See that guy over there? He can't afford to buy lunch. Slip him a little bit of money where he can buy lunch." Right? That's not your idea. That's the Spirit of God that lives in you. Most of us don't even know when God's leading us. He's leading us. The Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by Him. In other words, when you get up and you're really seeking to know God, you're really seeking to do His will, He's directing your steps even when you don't know it. An example, how about sometimes after the fact, when you've done something, all of a sudden a light bulb comes on and you think, "Wow, that was pretty awesome. I believe God called me to do that." But you were ignorant of it the whole time. Right? You didn't know why you were in that. Why was I in the canned vegetable aisles at Kroger when I don't even eat canned vegetables? But there was a lady there that I met that needed to hear my story. Man, am I good. How did I do that? You didn't do that. The Spirit of God did that. He set up a divine appointment in your life. And I believe that God wants to do that a whole lot more. God wants to lead us and guide us, but we have to stay flexible. We have to stay movable for Him. Now, can we blow it? Absolutely. Christians get so rigid sometimes. I don't care what he says, I'm going to do it my way. Ooh-wee. There's a price tag to pay for that. You know, in the prideful, he will humble you. Being a servant to God is the greatest freedom you'll ever know. Isn't it something? It's the greatest joy you'll ever know. To know that God used your tongue to speak to somebody and speak life to somebody. To know that God used you just to bring a little joy in someone's life. My brother-in-law who lives in D.C., he saw this homeless guy on the streets. And a squirrel had gotten his backpack. And this old homeless guy was going crazy. I mean, he was just scared to death of this squirrel. Well, you know, Doyle was raised up hunting squirrels. So Doyle here's in a suit, dressed up for his job. He walks over and he says, "What's the matter?" He said, "Man, there's a squirrel in there." And so Doyle reaches in, grabs a squirrel and pulls it out of his backpack and sets the squirrel free. And from that day on, the homeless guy called Doyle the squirrel catcher. Isn't that right? Squirrel catcher. And so they formed a relationship. Their relationship, I didn't know he ever knew the guy's name, but the guy just always called him the squirrel catcher. He'd say, "Hey, squirrel," because he would pass by every day. And one day, Doyle said to him, he said, "Have you eaten today?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Come on, I want to eat lunch with you." And he said, we don't hardly look the same. He said, "I don't care what we look like." He said, "Let's go eat lunch." So Doyle takes him over and they buy lunch together and form a relationship. A few weeks later, he notices he got holes in his shoes. And he said, "You know," he said, "those shoes ain't going to make it through this winter." And Doyle goes and he says, "What size do you wear?" And the guy tells him, and he goes and buys a pair of boots and he gives it to the guy. A little bit later, he finds out this is not a drunken bum. Shame on us, the way we judge people. This was a guy that got down on his luck. I don't like the word luck. Hail Mary, full of grace, Father. Take that word out of my vocabulary. Made some bad decisions, probably. But he found out he had a sister in Pennsylvania. So Doyle gets the money and gets him on a train. And yesterday was Doyle's birthday. And this homeless guy knew that he really had a name that wasn't Squirrel Catcher. And so he finds him on Facebook and calls him up and wishes him a happy birthday. But he's doing well, living with his sister. He's well adjusted, doing well. Now, do you think that was just Doyle? No. Or do you think God said, "Hey, squirrel, go get in that backpack. Lunch is in that backpack." I mean, who would see that as being led by God, right? But it brought two people together so that one could minister to the other the grace of God. I don't think Doyle ever led him to Jesus, but you know what he did? He shared the love of Jesus with him. That man knows that he's still worth something to society. And I think that's a good thing. The blessing of obedience, which is hearing, responding, and obeying. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're always walking in obedience. But when you do walk in obedience, there is a blessing that comes with that. We're slaves, which is doulos, which means sold into slavery. This was the worst kind of slave, by the way. The word that he uses to say that we're a slave to sin was the lowest of slaves. In other words, they had no hope of ever getting out of slavery. A lot of people in this time, when they would get in debt, they would sell themselves as slaves until they could pay their debt and then come out of slavery and go back to their life. But this kind of slave had no hope of ever getting out. That's the word that he uses. It says, sold into slavery that had no destiny of his own. He was perpetually obligated, completely consumed. That's the way we are before we meet Christ. We are completely consumed, completely obligated to that master. And that master is not compassionate. When Jesus comes in, we're completely emancipated from that. Completely set free by his grace. We now have a generous master. We are slaves of righteousness now. What we do in moral perfection, it brings righteousness in our life, which leads to holiness. What is holiness? Hagios, set apart for a specific work. There's another definition that says precious. Do you know, if we could roll back the clouds right now and listen into heaven, you know what we would hear? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It says it's all day, well, there is no night. All day long that's being said in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. And yet he says, you've been called to holiness. You've been called to be holy. And this is where many times we blow it. God has called me to be holy. So we start smacking each other's hands. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. Can't do that. That is not what it means. Holy does mean set apart. It's set apart for a specific work. Why would God set you apart? Because there's a calling of God on your life. Because there's something that he says, I want her to do. He doesn't set you apart to say, I don't want you to have fun anymore. I'm taking all the joy out of your life. Because that's how Christians view sin most of the time. Well, you mean I can't do that no more? You get not to do that. Because that brings death. But the things that he's going to bring into your life is going to bring life. Everlasting life. So yes, he sets you apart, anoints you, put his glory in you so that you can accomplish something for him. Another word for this is what we call sanctification. What's that mean? It means it's the process of working things out of your life. And while during the process of when he is working things out of your life, he's also working things into your life. So all of a sudden the anger begins to leave you. The bad words begin to leave you. But that's not good enough because he doesn't want to leave you empty. He's not just trying to take everything away, but he wants to fill you back with the right stuff. So he takes that anger away and he puts peace in your heart. He takes the bad talking and he puts life, words of life in your mouth. You see that? That's where the church missed it for so long. All we could talk about is what God is separating you. We know you can't do this and you can't do that and you don't need to do this and you don't need to do that. We never talked about what you get to do. You get to do the will of the Lord. What a great thought it is that God can use this old hunk of flesh. Now don't think so much of yourself because God used a jackass one time. And sometimes when we see him use you, we may say, he's done it again. But God does. It's a great thing. Things done in sin results in shame. I'm not going to ask you to respond to this. But there's lots of Christians that even though their sins are forgiven, they still live with shame for a long time. I can't believe I ever did that. I think about ladies who had abortion. I know a few people that have had an abortion. I know of some men that counseled their girlfriends to have an abortion. And you know, they live just as shameful as the girl. I worked with a lady who was in her 60s. I love this woman. I mean, I just loved her. We just clicked. She passed away some time ago. Before she passed away, she came into my office one day and she said, "Can I tell you something?" I said, "You absolutely can." And she said, "Will you not think bad of me?" I said, "I would never think bad of you." And she said, in my 20s, I had an abortion. And I was able to counsel her and able just to love on her for 40 years. Satan has beat her over the head for that one action. You think God takes pleasure in that? You ever think maybe that's why God says, let's not go down that road? Because I don't want you to have to deal with this for 40 years. The church has beat up people that's been divorced. Man, we have just beat you over the head. We have basically preached from our pulpit, it's better for you to kill your spouse than to divorce your spouse. Because God can forgive you for murder, but God will not forgive you for the divorce. Really? Does that make sense? But see, when man gets involved, when man starts making a hierarchy of sin, here's my message today. I don't care what you've done. I do not care what you have done in your past. God's grace will save you, and it's strong enough to deliver you from shame. Hold your head up high. Not prideful, but you hold your head up high for what He has done in your life. And you walk free of that nonsense. And church, let's not be guilty of that. Let's not be guilty of walking in judgment towards each other. If you want to walk in judgment towards somebody, let's open your closet doors. Just see how priceless and precious you are, right? You're not opening my closet door, I'm going to tell you. I'm keeping my closet door closed. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So holiness might be sort of important. Because without holiness, he says, you're not going to see God. Without being set apart. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. God saved you to set you apart. So let the process begin. The process of perfection, you ain't ever going to make it. But God can work some things out of your heart in the meantime to make your life more joyful here on earth. Too many of us are worrying about that heaven thing. We're getting to heaven. We're going to get there. But how about life here? What are we doing? Are we going to enjoy our life here? 1 Peter 1:15 through 16 says, he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now I want to read a verse in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. It's going to make you scratch your head and think, I can't do that. It says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. Boy, that hurts. Let's read it one more time because I like pain. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains on him. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. Wow. Let's have an altar service right now, because all of you need to repent. including me. What's he talking about? He's talking about a lifestyle of sin. He's talking about living a lifestyle. He is not talking about messing up and sinning. He's not talking about, we're not perfect people. And he totally understands that. Jesus totally understands that. He is trying to bring a truth to the church, which the church don't want to talk about anymore. He's trying to say Christian people don't live the lifestyle of sin. What are you talking about? He came to deliver you of alcoholism. He came to deliver you of drug addictions, of sexual addictions, of shopping addictions. Oh, that hurt. Stay on that sexual thing, would you? Of eating addictions. Dear God, convicted myself now. We're going to make mistakes. When you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You go to the Lord. But Christians, we ought not live in sin and enjoy it. When you sin, it ought to bother you. When you spoke out of turn, you ought to think, oh, I did it again. Now here's the difference. You don't beat yourself up for 2 weeks. You repent. You change your ways, right? Repent means to go in the opposite direction. If I tell my brother off, say something really hateful and ugly to him, and then I leave him and I think, oh, what did I do? If I tell you a dirty joke, oh, golly, I can't believe that. I can't believe I did that. Jesus, forgive me. And I may need to go one more step. Brother, forgive me. I was out of order. Even though I'm your pastor, I still blow it. She makes me do stuff like that. I don't know. She drives me crazy. And let me just tell you, those that grew up in the 70s, the devil didn't make you do it. You made yourself do it. There's two things that I want you to get today. Now listen to me, this is not going to be long. Two things. Number one, it is possible to be a slave to something and yet believe you're free. There are a lot of people that think they're free, but in truth, they're slaves to sin. They're unredeemed. They don't know the Lord yet. He wants them, but they don't see the bondage that they're in. That's not the one that bothers me quite as bad. It's number two that bothers me. It's also possible to be free and think you're enslaved. See, Christ has made you free. But there's lots of Christians that don't think they're free. Because they're in bondage to a sin. But Christ has set you free. But I'm driven. You may have a stronghold in your life. But the Bible says that sin has no dominion over you. Christian, I'm just going to tell you right now. I know there's people that live in bondage to sin. You have the power within you to overcome it. I don't care what it is. You hear me? Say, but I've had this anger problem for 40 years. Well, you've walked with it for 40 years. You'd like to get free? For you to say your anger problem is greater than God, do you realize what you're saying? My addiction to food or my addiction to sex or my addiction to drugs, I just can't go free. No, you don't understand. You're already free. You're choosing to live in that. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to take some work to get out. Why? Because you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. First of all, you've got to see yourself as a victor and not as a victim. Maybe you've been sexually abused when you were 15, 16, 17 years old. So for the next 40 years, are you going to walk as a victim? Are you going to walk as a victor? Because Christ died to make you a victor, not a victim. But how many Christians do you know stay in that victim mentality even though they're set free? It's like you're staying in the jail cell, but the door is open. But we're just staying there. I wish I could get out of here. The door is open. Try walking out. You see, we get so familiar with our sin. We get so familiar with that bondage. And the devil has got such a stronghold in our mind that you know what he's got us doing now? We're saying his thoughts. We're saying things over ourselves that the devil says over ourselves, not what Jesus says over us. Well, I wish I could get over this, but I just can't. I just don't find that Jesus uses the word can't very often. Maybe it's a word that we ought not be using. Because see, I see that with Jesus, we're the majority. We can overcome. We can change our destiny. We can change our life. Not because of us, but because of who we hooked up with. We can overcome. You can choose to live in that sin for the rest of your life, but it's your choice. I just want to see you go free. Let's live free. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems. I'm not preaching that pie in the sky. I'm preaching that you are not alone. It's like the song said. There's four steps that I believe will help you. Number one, flee temptation. Flee temptation. Change your circumstances. Do whatever you have to do, but get out of Dodge. Flee that stuff. If you got a problem controlling your lustful thoughts, you probably ought not go to the beach. Wow, that's rocket science, isn't it? Yeah, you might not even be able to watch television. That's right. You understand what I'm saying? If you've got a problem with alcohol, I don't encourage you to go back and witness to the bars. Let's get a little distance between you and that. Right? Some of it is just common sense. If you got a problem with theft, I don't think you ought to work in Walmart's cash cage. It just doesn't make sense. Is this clear? Am I making myself? There are some things that we can just practically do. If you have a problem telling the truth, cut your tongue out. That's one of the going. I don't know how to tell you to get rid of that one. I know people, I'm not really telling you to cut your tongue. If we come to church Wednesday night and somebody, oh dear God, they took me serious. Number two, do something to honor God. Again, just not doing is not good enough. Just fleeing the temptation. You know, if that was all we had to do is flee temptation, we just go build a commune up on the nearest mountain and stay up there. And you know what would happen? Before long, we'd be worshiping a man and drinking Kool-Aid. It's what always happens. That doesn't work. You cannot just live your life trying to shun sin. You've got to start doing some positive things. Start seeking His face. Lord, what am I to do? We concentrate way too much on not sinning. If you would concentrate on doing the will of God, sin won't be a problem. If you would put the Word of God in your heart, sin won't be a problem. Because the more words you have in your heart, the less sin you have. That's the Word. It's not my thoughts. Number C is thank God for providing the freedom that you have. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. I love the last part of that. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, the decision's already made. We will serve the Lord. Christians, you ought to just get a backbone and say, I'm tired of this nonsense. I'm living for God. Remember the old song we used to sing? I have decided to follow Jesus. There's some things that you just need to make a quality decision in your heart. I'm not doing that. I'm not living that way any longer. The last thing is try to discern what caused the temptation and then stay out of the devil's territory. What caused you? You know, David said, I'll put no wicked thing before my eye. The truth of the matter is most Christians live way too close to the world. We try to toy with sin. We try to play with it. Oh, I'm not sinning. I just want to have a little fun with it. And before long, it's like playing with a snake. This is a Pentecostal church that does not believe in handling snakes. I'm going to tell you. I don't have that kind of faith. Eventually, that snake's going to bite you. Eventually, your sin that you're toying with, it's going to bite you. And when it does bite you, there will be a price tag to pay for that. Quit playing with sin. It's nothing to be. It's like playing with cancer. Nobody plays with cancer. Buddy, we don't even like to say the word. We just like, don't let's not talk about that. I wish we had the same view of sin. I've been saved a long time. You know, there was a time in our churches when people got embarrassed. You'd talk about certain things. The ladies would turn red and they'd bow their head. And Treva still does, because when I'm preaching, she just lives in a state of embarrassment. I just keep this woman prayed up, is the way I see it. When's the last time you saw someone embarrassed? It's been a long time. You know why? First of all, we talk about everything. And everything is okay. But it ain't. It's not. It's not okay. There are some things the Bible says you should shun. And there's other things you need to move towards. Shun the very appearance of evil. Some things are not even evil, but it looks evil. Keep it out of your life. You're not a slave to sin. You are not a slave to the devil. You are a slave to him. We have a good master. We have a very kind, very generous master who wants to help us and give life to us and brings us holiness and righteousness into our life. I just think of the person I used to be, and I think of the person that I am, and I know I've got a long way, but you know what? It sort of excites me. When I was a kid, young and growing up, I had such a sharp tongue. And when I talk about things like telling dirty jokes or saying really ugly things, that's who I was. Very sharp tongue. You know, I'm not that person anymore. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not great, but I'm not that old guy anymore. I'm being moved. I'm starting to look more like Daddy every day of my life. That's sanctification. And it's joyful. A lot of times we don't see it in ourselves, but we see it in other people. People that have got saved in this church some time ago. Roy was telling me that. He said, it's so exciting just to watch people's lives change. And he gave me this testimony in Sunday, right before Sunday school. He said, I'm just not the person I used to be. That's exciting. I hope every one of you can say that. It's not saying that we're perfect. It's not saying we're even good. But maybe we're just not as bad as we used to be, right? It is a start. So of everything, I want you to understand, if there's bondage in your life, it doesn't have to be. It does not. Let's not fool ourselves anymore. Let's not rationalize sin. Let's not say, well, I was born this way. You know, I'm half Cherokee. I'm supposed to be on the warpath. It's just not true. His blood is greater than anything else. Stand with me. So whose slave are you? I hope that 100% of you can say, I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I am His servant. I am His servant, not Satan's. Because years ago, I made a decision and I asked Jesus into my heart. And I switched masters. Glory to God. What a wonderful statement. I switched masters. I don't serve Satan anymore. I used to, and I did it pretty good. But now I'm His servant. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you cannot make that statement, just with an uplifted hand, I just want to lead you to Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want the opportunity to introduce you to the one that will help you switch masters so that you'll not be subject to sin. You'll be set free. Anybody here at all? Amen. I see your hand. How many of you would say, you know what? I have been set free, but I've been making some bad choices lately. And that verse that you read in 1 John that says, don't continue in sin, man, that cut me pretty hard. So, Pastor, would you pray for me today as I recommit my heart to Jesus and I make a determination in my heart that I will not serve sin and I will not serve Satan. I will not make a rationalization or an excuse for my sin any longer. I know that He set me free and I am going to walk in freedom. With a raised hand, say, Pastor, pray for me that I can live a victorious life. Amen. See your hands. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Father God, I come before you today. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful that your word brings life to us. Father, Lord, I pray that today there has been no condemnation, because I don't believe there's any condemnation in you, so it shouldn't come out of me. So, Father, Lord, if people have heard condemnation, I pray that they would just cast that off in Jesus' name, because that's of the devil. And I pray, Lord, that they would feel the freedom and the liberty that you provide. And those that have raised their hands with such honesty and purity of heart that says, you know, there's still a work that Jesus needs to do in me. Maybe I've been rationalizing some things in my heart, in my life. I pray that the Holy Spirit would move close to their heart and show them that they are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I pray for that overcoming victory and power. Lord, we are people of the blood, and there's life in the blood, and we're covered in the blood in Jesus Christ. Let us go free and show this world what freedom in Christ looks like. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Ray.